Yellowstone National Park. It's a beautiful national park, right? And there's a quick video of different things you can do and see there. There's geysers there that you can go to and just plug your nose because it smells like sulfur. There's hikes you can do. There's waterfalls. It's just filled with this tremendous amount of beauty. And there's the bison you can see there. There's tons of buffalo there. It's awesome. It is an awesome park to go and visit. I would encourage you, if you're planning a summer vacation, Yellowstone is a good place to go. But so you know, Yellowstone National Park is not a safe park. Right? There's dangers there, and there's things that you need to be aware of. So the park, this won't sound bad. The park has been, I think last year it celebrated 150 years as a national park. I think 1872 is when it became a national park. It has seen anywhere from 42 to 52 deaths. And so here's a little map for you, and you'll see it better at home. Here you won't really see it, but it breaks it down. You can see all these little dots. You can look this up and find it out online. There have been 8 murders in Yellowstone National Park. There have been 12 animal attacks. 11 of those have been grizzly bear, and one person has been killed by a bison. Some people have died from falling off ledges. And then 22 people have died from falling into scalding water. It's a beautiful park. You should really go. And if you take your kids, put the backpack leash on them. Because Yellowstone is really this national park, that part of it is over the top of this massive volcano that has this scalding hot water. That's why you have these formations. That's why it smells terrible in some locations and all these different things. And it's crazy there. And so to help you navigate the park, what the National Park System has done is they've created paths for you to walk on in the dangerous areas. And so here's a few pictures of the different paths at Yellowstone, like little bridges. You can see the icky ground around you, and there's different things going on. The reason that they do that is because the ground around those areas is dangerous. The water there gets to like 280 degrees Fahrenheit. And some of the stories I've read, I would tell you about it, but I don't want to like make anybody throw up in church. But I think 2 years ago, there was a woman that decided she didn't want to walk on the path. She's going to walk on the rock next to the path. And so the problem is, you think, well, it's rock. It's safe, right? It's solid rock. But it's not solid rock. It could be like a false thing. And right below that, you might think that you're on this big, huge boulder, but it might only be a couple inches thick. It could crack. It can break. 280-degree water can just scald your foot off in a second. She ended up getting arrested and charged and all these different things for doing that because they put these paths up for your safety, believe it or not. I mean, one, it's to protect the ecosystem there, but it's like, it's dangerous. Stay on the path. If you just stay on the path, everything's going to be okay, right? So if you ever go to Yellowstone National Park, I encourage you to stay on the path because it's safe and it's good. I bring that up because we're living in this amazing time in human history. So much is changing. And there's rapid advancements and all these different things, and it's fun to see. And probably the last 100 years have been doing that. But even if you think about the last 20 years, there have been so many changes in society and culture. And some of those are good, and some of those are not so good, in my opinion. Because there's been a lot of challenge to what truth really is, and what is, and all these different things. And so there's different things, and we've been seeing churches change their theologies based on pressures from society. And now you're getting you're getting off of the path, in my opinion, and you're starting to walk on rocks that maybe you're going to be okay, maybe you're going to fall through. And so we're going to be starting off this study on the book of Galatians in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of churches around this area. We believe it's one of the first letters that he wrote. Paul is an apostle. When you read through the Bible in the New Testament, you have the Gospels, 4 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about the story and ministry of Jesus. Then you have a whole bunch of books that are really letters that are written to different churches on how to remain in the faith and how to be faithful to God. Galatians is probably one of the first letters that is written, and Paul is writing to these churches, and he's challenging them. He's encouraging and challenging because these groups have come in and said, what did Paul teach? No, that's not right. This is what you really need to do. And we're going to see even today how Paul takes a stand against that. I bring all this up because Paul is going to bring the Galatians and bring us back to the gospel. Because the gospel is the most important truth that we cannot waver on. It's a fundamental to our theology and our belief. We can't change what the gospel is. And we'll talk about what that is. Because I believe this, God has laid out a path for us to walk on. And that is the gospel path. And so even our bottom line this morning is this, that God's gospel path is meant to lead you safely home. Just like the paths in Yellowstone National Park are meant to maneuver you through the dangerous areas and get you back safely to the parking lot so you can get home, the gospel path that God has created for us is intended to safely get us home, not back to our house, but back to our Heavenly Father and the home that He has prepared for us. Amen? The gospel path is that safe path for us to walk on and get home. I want to invite Steve Fountas to come up, the chair of our elder boards. He's going to read for us this morning from the book of Galatians, just the first few verses in chapter 1. So if you wouldn't mind standing with us as we read this morning.
Galatians 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask that today you would open up our eyes to clearly see the path that you've laid out for us. I ask that through the words that you give to Brian, that you would encourage us and direct us and teach us, and you would give us the will to follow the path you've given us. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Church, you can have a seat. What I want to do today is we talk through this first part of the chapter of Galatians of chapter 1. Kind of where we're going is jumping around a bit, but we're going to define what this gospel path is. How do we get on that path? And again, how do we stay on that path? And what are the benefits of walking on that path with God? So that's where we're going to be going today. And I love how Paul just starts us out. Paul, an apostle, a messenger for God. Literally, the definition is a delegate or one that is sent forth with an order. Paul, an apostle, I'm sent forth on purpose for a purpose. We're going to find out that's by God. It's not his own doing. It's not from any man. Nobody has appointed Paul to this ministry, right? Paul, an apostle of God, not by men or from men or any of that, but through God our Father. And he gives this background that I'm here doing this because God has appointed me for this ministry and for this mission. And so he gives this incredible authority that comes from his apostleship, that it's not his own. You shouldn't listen to me because I'm an apostle. You shouldn't listen to me because other people say you should listen to me. You should listen to what I'm about to write, church, because God has put me in the spot for this position to write this letter to encourage you to stay the course of the gospel path. And so that's where we're going to see. And I love that this idea that by receiving God's invitation of grace, and we'll learn more about Paul's story as we go through this, but by receiving God's invitation of grace, Paul is approved by God, if you will. He's got the stamp of God's approval for this ministry. And that's kind of the first point I want you to see is this. When we're walking the gospel path, it is God approved. It's God approved. And we when we say yes to Jesus, not only does Paul get the stamp of approval, that you and I get the stamp of approval from God. Right? That we're God approved. And we love approval things, right? We love to know that things are okay because people approve them. I grew up eating a cereal called Kix. Because it's kid tested, mother approved. It's now parent approved, which is okay. I don't care about the change. So it's kid-tested, and it's mother-approved. And then I grew up kind of in the 80s, and if I was ever wondering what movie do I think I should go see, there was a show on called Siskel and Ebert. And they would watch all the movies, and they would rate them. They would tell you everything about them except the ending, so there's no spoiler alert. And then you're waiting for their rating. Do they approve of the movie or not? So you're always waiting for the two thumbs up, way up, right? If you remember Siskel and Ebert, like, and that's when I know don't see that movie because they're terrible at picking up movies. They want to go like, oh, this is a great Oscar movie. Okay, and then I'm going to go see The Avengers. I just want some violence and you know, nonsense. But it's approval. Siskel and Ebert approve of it, so we do it. Yelp. How many people use Yelp? Yelp is all about approval. I've driven by this place. Someone has told me about it. Maybe I want to go there. But what are the customers really saying about this place? Do they approve of this restaurant? Do they approve of this store? If they approve, if people that have gone there approve, then maybe I'll go there too because it's been approved. And if it's been approved, then it's okay for me to go shop there, for me to go eat there. We like things to have approval, right? Because then we know, oh, it's okay. And approval doesn't always work out. Some people that like some foods are not the foods that you will like. Some people that like some stores are not the stores that you will like. But Paul is working on a different approval. It's not by man or from man, but from God. I have God's approval. And it's a beautiful thing. Now here's the really cool news. When you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become God approved. That God wants to use us. He's put us on a path that's going to lead us safely home to him. But in the meantime, he wants to do some transforming work in our lives because there's some character flaws that we all have. Amen. We're not going to go through those because if we want to do that, I'm like, do you want the alphabetical list or you want me just to go random? Because we're going to be here all day if I start talking about my character flaws. And we haven't even got to you yet, which will be here for months. Because there's a lot of you, not because you all have problems. We're here for a day for me. We're here for a day for each and every one of us. We're approved. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God approves us. There are different verses that talk about that God puts his Holy Spirit as a guarantee, a deposit, that what he started, he'll be faithful to complete. It's this beautiful thing. And so not only is he doing this transforming work in us, not only do we have on this gospel path that's going to lead us safely home, God gives us a mission and a purpose to live for. And we talk about this. This is the core of our church. We're a church that is geared at making disciples who go and make disciples because that is the biblical model. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, all authority, I'm approved. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And I know you're like, Pastor, we hear that verse every 3 weeks. Good, because that's the core of what the church is all about. It's the core of what the mission is that God has approved us for. It's to go out and share the good news. And sometimes we think, well, I just accepted Christ. I can't go out and share the good news because I don't know enough. I'm not mature enough. I don't know my Bible enough. I don't even know how to pray right. Am I praying right? So why would anybody want to hear from me? The minute you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God can use you to reach other people for the gospel. Amen? Because it's not your approval. It's not your words. It's that God is backing you up and is giving you approval. This is my child. He'll give you the words to say. And it's okay to go, man, I'm new at this. I don't even know the answer, but this is what I know. This Jesus guy loves me, and he forgave all my sins, and he's giving me new clothes. Man, it's awesome. Well, yeah, but what is, man, I'm just beginning. I don't know the rest of the story yet. That's just where I'm at right now, which is perfectly okay, but we're approved by God to go out there and do these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are what? Ambassadors. As though God is making his appeal to mankind through us. You and me. He's not having angels just pop up in the sky and telling people about Jesus. The way he's going to get the word out is the grassroots revival of using his people in everyday circumstances. And why can we do that? Because we're approved by God for that ministry. Now, make sure you're on the right gospel path when you're sharing with people, because we don't want to lead them astray. We are his ambassadors. And from the minute we say yes to Jesus, that's where we are. And so I love this idea that Paul is giving like this background. Hey, as I write this letter, I'm letting you know it's not by men that I'm here. God has appointed me for this. God has appointed you as well. And so the next thing that I see that's really good is because it keeps getting better. Paul says, not from men or through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And verse 2, all the brothers who are with me. Sometimes we love to read our Bible and we love to get into like the nitty-gritty and what's the deep theological stuff and let me learn more about God and there's these great things. And we overlook these little things like all the brothers who are with me. Okay, that's nice, Paul, but let's get down. What's that about the gospel and Jesus raising from the dead, forgiving sins? That's what I'm not. No. Don't neglect all the brothers who are with me. Because the second point is this. There's power in community. Not only is Paul writing this on behalf of, because God has appointed him, I have a group of people that are with me that they're all on the same mission together. There's power in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And so not only does Paul have the approval of God, he's got these brothers that are with him. And there's something powerful that happens when a group of people work together. If you've seen that, it's an amazing thing. And I would say this, as God has laid out a gospel path for us to lead us safely home, he's never intended you to walk on that path alone. He's never intended you to walk on that path alone. And sometimes we get caught up in like, well, I have my own personal Bible study, and I have my own personal quiet time, and you know, I do this, and it's just personal, and it's individual, and it's personal, and it's individual. And I'm here to tell you that is not the gospel path. It is great that you have a personal time of reading the Bible. It is great that you have a personal time of prayer. It's great if you go out and serve a community or serve a group of people that nobody else knows about. Those things are all fantastic. But sometimes we individualize our faith so much, it's just me and God. And here's Paul, an apostle of God, writing to the churches with the authority of God and all the brothers who are with me. We need one another. We're created to work together with one another. And the problem is, as you look around this room, there's some people that you go, I don't want to work with that person. I'll work with Pastor Brandon, but I don't want to work with Pastor Brian. He's mean. Am I mean? I don't know if I'm mean. But I'm just going to work by myself because it's easier for me to get things done on my own. Other people mess it up. It might be easier for you to get things done on your own. That doesn't mean it's the best way or the right way to do it. God intends us to work in community. Do you remember the TV show Intervention? Anybody watch that? You have someone in there that is struggling with some type of addiction. It's not always drugs or alcohol. There are just different things going on. But this addiction is ruining people's lives, and oftentimes they end up being homeless and out on the streets. And so family and friends gather together with a professional person to try and like intervention, and get them into a place where they can break this addiction and start healing from what's going on. But if you've ever watched the show, it's never one person sitting down with the one person who's dealing with addiction to help the intervention. It's a group of family and friends that love this person so much they can't stand to see them keep doing what they're doing. It's a community of people saying, come, we are here with you. We stand with you. We will be here to challenge you and to encourage you. We're here to build you up. We're here to get you to that place where you need to be. That's what the church is a group of people, a community that stand together and work together to lift one another up, to encourage, to challenge, to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, all for the sake of the glory of God and the gospel. There's power in community. And there's tons of verses I can read. I know we've talked about this before, but Hebrews chapter 10 says this. It's up on the screen. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together. Paul, in his various travels and going out and doing work for the gospel, is constantly traveling with a group of people, a community, because that's the way that God intended it, and there's power in community. Paul, an apostle of God, and the brothers who are with me. Who are your brothers and who are your sisters that are going through life with you? Case in point, we prayed for the Kaisers today. It would be a shame if we let the Kaiser family mourn alone. So what are we going to do about it? Other families have gone through hurts. Other families are suffering. They're not meant to suffer alone. They're family. We had a saying here that said, the first time you're a guest, the second time you're family. It's a lie. Because the first time you're here, you're family. Amen? That's the way the church is. Bring all your baggage in. I don't care what you're carrying in here. Look, I came in with a mess. I still have a lot of mess. But this is family. There's power in community. Let's keep reading through Galatians and look at this. Starting with verse 6, Paul says this: I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? Because if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul, an apostle of God, approved by God, Paul working together in the power of community. Churches, I am astonished. I'm bewildered. I'm amazed how quickly you're turning away from the grace of the gospel. And the third point is simply this, that there is no other gospel. There's no room for another gospel. There's no room for variation. There's not walking on the rocks next to the path variation of the gospel. There is one gospel and there is no other gospel. That's it. That's what Paul is saying. You remember back in the 80s and 90s? I'm a TV guy. I watch too much TV. I admit it. But there's old Pace Picani commercials, right? And help me out if you remember it. There's cowboys are sitting around a campfire and they're clinking and like, hey, Cookie, we're out of Pace Picani sauce. We need more. And the cook is like, oh, here you go. And the guy goes, what's this? And he hands it to another guy. He's like, that's not Pace Picani sauce. Pace Picani is made in San Antonio by people who love flavor and know what good flavor is. And we pick the vegetables right. And we pick the onions and tomatoes at just the peak season. So we get the best flavor in our salsa. And the other guy looks at the jar and says, this stuff's made in. Get a rope, right? How dare you try to serve me salsa from New York City? Because there's no other salsa than Pace Picani salsa. The problem is, people are getting the gospel that's made from New York City. And they're coming up with a different gospel. And Paul says that's not even a gospel at all. There is no other gospel. Don't let anyone come in and fool you. Don't let anyone come in and try and trick you. There's no other gospel than the gospel that I presented to you, that you received when you received the grace of God in Christ Jesus as Lord. It's the grace of God that delivers us. And I'll explain this to you, but they're turning away from that grace. One of the verses, we'll put it up on the screen, and it's the verse I want you to memorize, and even the action point's going to be for you to not only memorize it, but share it, is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Useful information. It is useful information. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. What are we saved by? Grace. Through faith. No other options. There's nothing you can do to earn or deserve or merit that grace. God freely gives it through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In faith, we receive that grace of God. That is kind of the gospel message. And what's happening is you have a group of people coming in. So, you know, Christianity is born out of Judaism. So Judaism, the Israelites in the Old Testament, and they had the law. And in order to be in a right standing with God, they had to obey the law. And if they didn't obey the law, then they're sinners. And they're in the wrong standing with God. And part of that law and part of the sign that they had a relationship with God were the males had to get circumcised. That even Moses, I think, when he was 99, was circumcised to show the sign of the covenant. And then they went to like when kids are 8 years old, and that's probably a little better choice. But that was a sign. And if you didn't get circumcised, you have no part of Israel. You have no part of the blessings of God because you're not walking the path that God had set up for them. The problem is the law could never save Israel because no one could ever keep all the law. Case in point, how many of you have ever murdered somebody? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever committed adultery? Don't raise your hand, but so you know, Jesus says if we even think about a person lustfully, we've already committed adultery. How many of you have told a lie? How many of you have disobeyed your parents? How many of you have stopped a stop sign? How many of you have run around? You're all lawbreakers, and you're all sinners like me. We can't keep the law. And so you have this group of people coming in now like, what did Paul say? You're saved by grace? That's great and all, but that's not what God really intended. If you want to have salvation, you need to be circumcised first, and then God can give you salvation. But if you're not circumcised, God's not going to save you. And they're coming in, and they're changing the gospel. Well, no, that makes sense. It was part of our history before, right? So, yeah, no, that makes sense. It's like me coming up and say, unless you get Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tattooed across your forehead, you're never going to be saved. If I preach that, you should walk out of this church right now. You should walk away, because that is not the gospel. For by grace we have been saved through faith, not by our own works, so that no one can boast. I know there's more in the middle, but you get it. Grace and grace alone. That is the gospel path that God has set up. I will give you the gospel really in four words. Write these four words down, because you need to know this, you need to remember this. We need to bring everything back to God's word and to the gospel, and this is what the gospel is. Four words. God, man, Jesus, response. Got it? What's the first one? Second one? Third one? Fourth one. God is the creator of all things. He has the authority in all things. He's the one that establishes what is right and what is true. He is holy and righteous. And he is just. That's God. Man, we're screw-ups. We don't like the authority of God, so we've taken our own authority as our own, and we do whatever we want, and we become sinners. We seek our own glory. We don't seek the glory of God. And because of our actions, we're condemned to death. Jesus comes to reveal to mankind who God really is, to eventually go to the cross. He lays down his life, and he takes it up again, his death, burial, and resurrection. And his act of dying on the cross is a way to pay the cost of the debt of our sins, and his raising from the grave shows that he has the power and authority over death and to forgive sins. Response: what are you going to do about it? The gospel is God, man, Jesus, response. God is good, man is bad, Jesus saves, make a decision. Make sense? And anyone that wants to come in and tell you otherwise is blowing smoke. Bring it back to the word of God and to the gospel, and don't let anybody deceive you on what the gospel is really all about, because there is no other gospel. Amen? And I love what Paul says. Even if an angel appears and tells you, like if this angel just goes poof, and it's floating in the sky and then starts doing some barrel rolls and doing some loops and then goes, hey, check this out, wing flex. And then goes, hey, this is all good. Hey, you need to do this to be saved. Like the barrel rolls were cool. But you're telling me if this mystical creature just appears in the air that I shouldn't listen to it? Right, exactly. If he tells you anything different than what's written in the Word of God, that person or that angel or whatever it is damned and cursed. Stick to the gospel, because there is no other gospel. Amen? Fourth thing, wrapping this up. Verse 10, Paul says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Fourth point is this, is live to please God. I'm going to tell you I fall short in this area quite a bit. I do want to please God with my life, and I do try and please God. But I am a people pleaser to the core. And that might shock some of you. Like, really? Like, you said this to me? You thought that was pleasing? I know, and I've said some things and done some actions that have hurt people, and it eats me alive because I want to have a good standing with people because I'm a people pleaser. It's just this whole like vicious cycle that makes me the wreck and the mess that I am. The insecurities and just all the different things, I feel the inadequacies because sometimes I focus more on pleasing men than I focus pleasing God. If we want to walk the path of the gospel, Like when we say yes to Jesus, we're approved by God to be there. He's given us a mission to go out and share the gospel with other people and to make disciples. We should walk in community. But if we want to keep walking on that path, to stay on that path, we have to live our lives to please and honor God. And Paul says, am I trying to please man with what I'm writing here? If I were trying to please man, I wouldn't have written the things that I've written so far. I would have said, oh, cool, you're believing something new? Well, hey, at least you're believing still. That's awesome. Paul is not in the position to make people happy. Paul has been called to get people to stay the course of the path of the gospel, to allow God to do his transforming work that they get home safe. And that might offend you at sometimes. But I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to please God. And in pleasing God, if you'll follow him and stick with him, you'll end up being pleased as well, I promise. And I really see it as this way. We have, wrapping up, there's really three ways to live. We can live to please others, we can live to please self, or we can live to please God. So how do you want to live? Do you want to live to please others, live to please yourself, or live to please God? If you live to please others, there's never-ending pressure. You'll burn out. It can lead to bitterness, resentment, and frustration. That's a path you can walk on. Live to please self, it could make you fight more. These are just reading different things of what different psychologists and things have noted. It will kill your joy, destroy relationships, and you'll never be satisfied. That's a path you can walk on. If we live to please God, we live with a bigger purpose and reason for life, and often it will result in us being pleased as well as others. Sounds like a pretty good option. Is it hard to walk that path? Yes. Will you be challenged to live to please others or live to please self instead of pleasing God? Yes, you will. But we learn and we grow and we continue to be transformed by God. Proverbs 16:7 says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Interesting. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? When a man's ways please the Lord, when we live to please God, even his enemies will live at peace with him. Live to please God. That's part of the gospel path that we're walking on. And it's going to be hard because sometimes the path of the gospel is going to seem old-fashioned. It's going to seem out of date. It's going to seem contradictory to where society and culture are going. And that's okay. What I'm telling you and what Paul is telling the Galatian churches is this. Stay the course. Because in the end, it will bring you home safe. Live to please God. And in the process, not only will you be satisfied, but you'll find other people will be satisfied as well. If you want to live to please other people, frustration. Live to please yourself, never ending. Live to please God, win, 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 all the way around. Not everybody, but it's a good thing to go. Band, you can come on up. We're going to close out with this, our takeaway and our pray and obey. That God has called, he's created a gospel path for us to walk on. He's called us to walk on that path. When we put our faith in Jesus, we're approved to not only walk on that path, but to carry out his work to make disciples. So here's our takeaway. Takeaway from the sermon is this. One thing I want you to remember, stay the course of God's gospel path. Don't walk to the left or to the right of it. Stay where it goes. You might be going through dangerous areas, but it's going to lead you safely home. Pray, Lord, help me to align with you and to not get distracted. That's a prayer I need to pray. Not just daily, probably hourly, because I get a PhD in distractions. And the obey, I want you to memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, and share it with somebody this week. Not someone in your family. Hey, Becky, my wife, I memorized Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Can I share it with you? No, God will bring a relationship and something in your life this week that'll make it the right spot to share that verse. Step in boldness to do it because you're approved by God to share his message. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer for you, church. We'll close this out. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that, Lord, through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, you save us. That there is no other gospel. There's nothing else that can save. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it. It's by your grace and your grace alone. Lord, I pray for those that need to maybe make that decision to follow you, that they find that grace in you. Lord, for the rest of us that are walking with you, help us to stay the course. Help us to live to please you, to glorify you in all our relationships and all our actions. God, we pray this in Jesus' name.